Hello, St. Petersburg! Hello, Tampa Bay! Hello, all you local beaches! Happy Friday, Radio St. Pete! This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, and we are up next! Happy Friday and welcome to the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, coming to you live as we do every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. Thank you. Thank you. let me go ahead and introduce everybody here in the studio. Across from me, as always, is my little girl, Hannah Claire.
Hello.
Hello, my dear.
Hello.
To her right is my blushing bride, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hello.
She still has brown hair.
Yes, she does still have brown hair, and she still has the dude.
Yes.
Have not gotten rid of the dude yet.
Still have the dude.
Right. Anyway, to Stephanie's right is my boy, Ty Ginn. Just barely made it in the studio before the start. Had a little, what do you call it, Ty? A code brown.
Code brown, crap attack.
Yes.
Crap attack. Nice. That's pleasant.
It is.
My name is Mark, and I'll be your host for the next couple of hours here on this magical mystery tour that we call the Happy Hour Show. Also in the studio this evening, we have an observer. The FCC sent somebody over to make sure that we were not screwing it up.
Uh-oh.
Too late.
That agent from the FCC would be our 18-year-old niece, Nicole. She will be sitting in here observing what we're doing this evening.
All of the shenanigans.
All the shenanigans, right. Yes. Let's see. If at any time during the show you want to give us a call, please do so. You can call us at 727-498-0502. Or if you're shy about calling into a radio show, please tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1. A lot of times during the shows we get quite a few tweets, and I enjoy them. We try to respond to your tweets as quickly as we can. So please do that if you don't want to call in. Now listen, there is still on the table the Happy Hour 100.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in winning an extra $100, all you got to do is call in. Call that same number, that's 727-498-0502, anytime during the show. I mean, anytime during the show, you call in and say, I want to win the Happy Hour 100. We will put the brakes on. We will stop. Stephanie will ask you three very easy questions. If you get them all correct, you will win $100.
Yes.
So that's a deal, my friends.
Yes, it is.
That is a deal. So here we are. It is Friday.
Woo-hoo.
Thank God.
Yes.
Right?
What a week.
What a week is right. Where do we begin? We got a big show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Really big shoe.
Mm-hmm. I know where we'll start. We'll start with this. Let's see. Hannah Claire, what do you know about Nate?
Not a thing.
Well, Nate, my dear, is the newly formed tropical storm that is blamed for at least, now listen to this, 22 deaths.
Already?
What?
Yeah. Where? I mean, I just heard about this storm like yesterday.
Where is it?
It came up through Central America and apparently killed 22 people.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think Irma and Maria killed that many combined.
Oh, they did.
Oh, probably. I'm just giving Nate some cred.
Yeah, some street cred.
Some storm cred.
Yeah.
But 22 people Nate is responsible for.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So anyway.
And it's still just a tropical storm.
Well, it apparently left Honduras, which is in South America, yesterday afternoon. By 2 o'clock this afternoon, it supposedly was going to be... Now, this is all according to the spaghetti models.
Right.
Right? So, according to the spaghetti models, at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, it was supposed to be parallel with, like, our southern tip of Florida.
It's not there.
It's not there?
No.
Where is it?
It's still
farther south?
Farther south, coming off the Yucatan Peninsula.
Well, the good news is that it is far enough west where it's not going to mess with Florida.
Right.
It looks like it's tracking that way.
We'll see.
they're saying it's going to track about 300 miles off the coast.
Well, now I'm a little bit concerned, Stephanie, that now that you said that it just left the Yucatan Peninsula, it should be closer to us, maybe it will make some sort of a turn towards us.
Supposedly because of this pressure system and that pressure system and the guiding whatever, it's just going to beeline straight up the Gulf and smack right into Louisiana, Mississippi.
You know what? I had it wrong. It's not actually supposed to be parallel to the southern tip of Florida until 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So it's right on schedule.
Yeah, that's about right.
Don't panic, everybody.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
There's still time.
This storm, this killer of 22 people, it's still far enough away from us. But anyway, by 2 p.m. Sunday, it looks like he'll make landfall in Mississippi.
Yes.
It's their turn, right?
No.
I'm just kidding.
We were
too soon. I'm just kidding.
We were there, just over a year ago, about a year and a half ago.
Right.
Remember all of empty lots and...
Yeah, they're still messed up down
they're
there.
They're still rebuilding from Katrina.
Hey, let me tell you something. If you ever get a chance to go to Mississippi, look up a town called Pass Christian.
Yes.
We've stayed in Pass Christian two different times when we have gone basically to New Orleans to go to the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Pass Christian is a fantastic little beach town.
Yes.
Not very populated. Has all of these beautiful old southern mansion-type homes along the beach.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Now, because of Katrina, a lot of those lots are vacant now.
Right, a lot of the newer homes didn't survive.
No, but if you ever get a chance to go to Mississippi,
not this weekend.
Don't do it this weekend.
Yeah, don't.
Because Nate's planning on being there around 2 p.m.
on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yes.
Right. looks like we'll get probably a lot of rain, and. Hopefully that doesn't screw up anybody's plans for the weekend.
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to be a very rainy weekend for us.
Right.
As far as
events downtown. Now, listen, if you're here in Florida and you experienced Irma, a lot of you might be wondering, hey, man, when is the county going to come pick up the crap I hauled out to the curb?
They picked mine up.
Yay.
Did they pick yours up?
Yeah, like weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you how much stuff was left behind. Now, this is an estimate given by, a county official. But he said that probably the amount of debris left in the Tampa Bay area, now that, is all of us, Tampa Bay, St. Pete, is enough to fill Raymond James Stadium. Okay, and be as high as a 28-story building.
Wow.
That's a lot of stuff.
I believe that.
So be patient.
Yes.
They're coming. Now, Hillsborough County is saying that they're probably not going to have all their stuff picked up until mid-November.
Right. That I'll be surprised if they actually get it all done by then.
Right. Yeah. Now, St. Pete Mayor Rick Kreisman, his office has come out to say that Pinellas County is going to have all their stuff picked up by the end of this month.
Again, we'll see.
They also said that in St. Petersburg, they've already picked up 40,000 yards of storm debris.
Storm debris. Right.
Jesus Kreisman.
Mm. Yeah. They, picked up quite a bit of stuff on the main roads at intersections
right.
where it was blocking, sight. but then left the piles in between the intersections.
I talked to a mailman yesterday, and he says, because they have not picked up a lot of stuff, a lot of people just dragged all their stuff to the curb, weren't even thinking that they were blocking their mailbox.
Their mailbox. Yeah.
So it's making the job of the mailman a lot more difficult.
A little more snaky.
Right. Scary. Yeah, right. What's living in that now?
So if you're not getting your mail, move your stuff.
Move your stuff.
Your sign.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Nate, and that is also your debris pickup sort of schedule. And like I say, Nate's coming up through the Gulf, tomorrow and Sunday, tonight, tomorrow and Sunday. And hopefully all we're going to get is a bunch of rain, and hopefully it does not spoil our plans for the weekend.
Our weekend plans.
Right.
Which include...
Yes.
The Saturday morning market that Radio St. Pete will actually be broadcasting live from tomorrow morning.
Right.
Saturday morning market. This is the kickoff for this year, where they actually start their fall schedule.
Isn't this like their 15th year?
Yes.
I think I read that.
Yes. It started in November of 2002. So, yes, this is their 15th season.
And this, the market is down by, like, Al Lang Stadium?
Yes, it's in the parking lot.
So it's down by the water, right?
Right. First Street and First Avenue South.
Nice.
It runs from October to May, the big market. Then they have a smaller Saturday morning market, which is actually in Williams Park, from May to October. But it's the Saturday morning market is one of the top 20 markets in the country.
Sweet.
So we've got a lot to be proud of.
Are you saying that as far as size or quality?
It's both? Based on both. We're the largest one in the southeastern United States.
Sweet.
There are over 130 vendors, spaces for vendors. And about 10,000 people attend on a typical Saturday.
That's a lot. Now,
it's a lot of people.
I think as I was reading through there, I saw that there are going to be a number of bands there.
They do have live music each Saturday.
Okay.
This weekend.
Because it's the opener.
Every Saturday. They have live music.
This Saturday is the season opener.
Right. And this weekend is Urban Gypsies.
Oh. Okay.
It says, smooth harmonies and primal rhythms create contagious, high-energy fun for them. But part of the reason that Joe and Radio St. Pete will be broadcasting live, not only is it their inauguration for their 15th season, but it's also kicking off following the Saturday morning market. Radio St. Pete is joining up with Radio A1A from the Keys.
Oh, cool.
And they'll be broadcasting from Tampa because...
wait a minute. Radio A1A, is that another internet radio station?
They are the radio station, one of the radio stations from the Keys.
So like a regular FM station?
I believe so,
yes.
Oh,
that's cool.
And they're having a benefit in Tampa.
Why didn't Joe ask us to come down and broadcast?
I don't know. Probably because Harry T. Ford will be hosting.
Harry T. Ford?
And he's from Radio A1A. He's covering that event.
Harry T. Ford.
Yes.
I like
T. Ford. One word.
Oh, one word.
T-E-A-F-O-R-D.
Not like Buford T.
No.
Pusser.
No. No.
Harold T. Ford.
Tiford.
Anyway, the benefit is for Key West.
Okay.
And they've, Tampa Bay Brewing Company, they've got bands, silent auction, all kinds of things going on over in Tampa for this Key West.
So is it it's not just Saturday, it's Saturday and Sunday, or just Saturday?
Just Saturday.
Okay, just Saturday. It starts at what time?
The Key West Fest that's going to be aired live starts at 2 p.m. on Saturday.
Okay, but the market opens...
The Saturday morning market runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in St. Petersburg.
And that's any Saturday from here on.
From here through May.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, if you've not made any plans for Saturday morning, that seems like a good place to go down to the Saturday morning open market down there by Al Lang Stadium.
Yes.
Down there, what? That's along what? Like Beach Drive, right?
First and First,
probably get to see the water, all kinds of vendors and things like that, and live music. If you find Joe B. in the Radio St. Pete tent, stop by and say, "Hey, Joe B.
We knew you'd be here.
We knew you'd be here.
We heard about it on the Marco Radio
that's
show.
Anyway, that's cool. We're going to go.
There's a lot of stuff going on downtown St. Pete this weekend, not only the Saturday morning market, but Brocante Market.
Love Brocante Market.
This is their Saturday and Sunday. This is the first weekend of the month, so they'll be open. This weekend also kicks off the Sunshine Murals Festival.
Sweet.
That lasts for the next 2 weeks. It goes, I believe, through the 14th.
So...
And there are something like 23 or 32.
Are those 23 new ones?
New.
Because they had one of these tours
last year
for all of the new ones then. So, man, there's a lot more.
A lot more. Very cool. All over St. Pete.
So I love them. I love the murals.
There's so much to do this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Hopefully the weather...
will cooperate.
Will not be as bad as predicted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I guess we would be remiss if we weren't like every other media outlet and mention the Las Vegas shooting that happened last Sunday at the Route 91 festival that it was like a 3-day festival. What a tragedy. One of the things that I wanted to talk about is you hear some of the conspiracy theories about what happened, how it happened, because nobody really knows what the motive of this shooter was. Nobody seems to believe that this guy, what was his last name? Packard? Something like that? I don't even know what his name.
I don't know.
Nobody seems to be able to believe that he would have anything to do with this.
Right.
None of it seems to add up at all, really.
Yeah, I mean...
A 64-year-old retired accountant...
With money.
With money. He was a gambler.
With money, money.
Money, money.
Yeah.
Never been in trouble with the law.
Right.
Quiet.
Has ties here to Florida.
Right. Has, I think, a brother here in Florida. Used to live here.
Right.
Took his entire gun collection on vacation.
Yeah.
Right. And decided to shoot up a festival.
You know what's so crazy about, the media is, and I think, I don't know that you can really blame them because, look, they're trying to get the scoop, so when something like this happens, everybody's trying to be the first one with the information. So
right.
At first it's like he had 10 guns. Then I heard there were like 23 guns. Then I heard as many as 26 guns, What do you believe? What did he have?
Until you hear it at the police press conference,
right?
That's what you have to go with, I think.
But this guy apparently did a lot of planning for this thing.
Yeah, well, he must have.
You have to.
You would have to.
First of all, you have to plan on getting. You have to rent the room. You have to know when the
rooms
are. Rooms
are. And you got to know where those rooms are.
Yeah, you got to know where they are. Yeah, where they're located in the building to see if you have a good line of fire.
Right.
Right.
Why
on the crowd?
Why the 32nd floor, not the 31st, not the 33rd?
What I wanted to know, and one of the things that has been a question for me from the very beginning is they say that it took them about 70 minutes to figure out where he was in the hotel.
Right.
That kind of boggles my mind because it's like as soon as he broke those windows, where'd all that glass go?
Didn't it fall off an alarm?
Didn't it fall to the ground? Weren't there people? Vegas is loaded with people.
Right.
Wasn't there somebody like going, what the hell? Did you see that glass just fall on the ground?
Have you ever shot a gun off inside?
Yeah. Right. How loud it is.
I mean, there was, I did hear a recording from somebody who was staying in the room below him. And he was one of the people that first alerted the police, like, hey, there's something going on in the room above me, you know.
What, was he out of the room when he first started shooting?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, speaking of out of the room, this guy was so meticulous and so planned out that he had cameras mounted in the hallway so that he would be able to see when anybody was coming to get him.
That's amazing.
I mean? This was a CIA job.
I heard that conspiracy theory today too, Ty.
You know, I thought the whole reason, you know, the glass, back to the glass.
Right.
You know, the windows at the Mandalay Bay don't open.
Right. In most hotels, they don't.
And partly in Las Vegas, is what I've heard, you know, I don't know. I've heard this, is because people gamble and they lose so much money, it keeps people from jumping out of the windows.
Commit suicide, right.
So why, you would think that they would have alarms or something, sensors on those windows to look for the, I mean, what if somebody had broken the window and jumped from the 32nd floor? How long was he going to lay in the street?
Right, yeah, yeah. I heard that ISIS claimed responsibility not once, not twice, but three times, right? Then I heard a conspiracy theory today that said that the FBI was using this guy as a patsy to set up a guns deal with ISIS. Then the story went on to say that when ISIS came to pick up the guns from this guy, that the police busted, the FBI busted in, arrested them, shot and killed this guy. But, well, who killed all the people?
Yeah,
yeah, right. Well,
you know, and then what?
And then what I said was, so when the ISIS people got there, he was giving them a live demonstration of how well these weapons work. Right. Here, let's shoot up a bunch of concert goers.
And the picture that I saw, I mean, he has all these guns, which if he intended to use all of them, which I don't, you couldn't.
Right.
Why were they just kind of thrown about the room?
See, I have not seen any photos of the room. I haven't seen crime scene, anything.
The pictures I saw, like, you see a bunch of guns, but they're like, thrown all over the place.
No, I mean, if he was planning
So it's almost like somebody ransacked the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you were planning to use them all, it seems like you'd have them
positioned,
lined up, and
you'd have
and
like
ready
so many at this window and so many at the other window, right?
And neatly, you know, so that they're easy to grab.
Then there are the stories of the people that have posted online that they saw several lower floor windows blown out, saying that basically there had to be other shooters.
And what about the people walking around in the crowd?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Now, that is creepy, because I did hear that one story that there was a couple walking through the crowd about 45 minutes before the shooting saying, you're all going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
And not only did people say that, they have recorded those people.
Well, and those
that's
people,
the beauty of people having cell phones.
Those people were removed from the concert by security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
So where are they?
I don't
they?
Know that we'll ever know.
I mean, if security removed them, do they get your don't they take your name if you're a problem concert
I know
goer?
That they've been to this guy's house. I know that they've probably confiscated all of his computer equipment and things like that. I haven't heard anything about a suicide note or, you know, nothing. There's nothing that shows a motive.
They haven't been able, as far as I know, they haven't been able to find anything.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
And
one of the things that I've been thinking about is this happened Sunday. All right. So we've been hearing about it all week.
Right.
Have you noticed basically, let's say, when the Pulse nightclub thing happened, let's say when Sandy Hook happened, now all of a sudden you're getting these things happening, not all the time,
but more frequently,
we're becoming numb to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
maybe that's what they want.
I don't really feel I don't feel anywhere near as affected by this as I did, say, like when Columbine happened.
Oh, my God, when Columbine happened.
You know, all of a sudden now it's like this is happening not on a regular basis, but frequent.
Well, it is happening on a regular basis. I mean, not this is a large scale. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I saw something like there were 270 some situations like this,
right,
in the first 260 days of this year. You know, so it's happening. It's happening daily.
Yeah.
Where people are going in and shooting up either workplaces or, you know, where there's multiple.
Well,
you know.
I was listening to the radio earlier this week, and they said that the highway patrol in Pennsylvania stopped this guy, and after doing a check of his car, found that his car was loaded with weapons, loaded with ammo, and some explosives. And it's like, where are you going?
Right.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know. So what's that about? You know.
Yeah. It's scary.
What's motivating these people?
But at the same time,
who are these people?
You know, my paranoia, yeah. You know, like we have Alexa unplugged and, you know, we watch Snowden.
We have Alexa unplugged and she wants to know why.
Yeah, and she wants to know why. And, you know, we talked about this. We talked about this last week, you know, after watching Snowden and all of that, that the FBI is watching everything we do and reading all of our emails and all of that. And it's like, well, I guess I don't need to be worried. This guy managed to get how many guns?
Got anywhere from 10 to 26.
Into, you know, he bought them all. He bought those bump stocks mm-hmm. to make them
modify
so them.
Take a semi-automatic and make it automatic.
So what I guess the FBI
because they wanted it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI wasn't, you know, checking his Alexa.
Well,
I
heard something
email.
Completely ridiculous. There were some people in the crowd that were like, "Oh man, I wish I had had a concealed weapons permit there at the concert." And I'm like, "So then
and do what?
Start shooting at the building?"
Right.
Yeah. The building was too far away for small arms
right.
fire.
I mean, come on, people.
Dumas.
Yeah.
Think about it.
No, but then the guy that the veteran who stole a truck.
Mm-hmm.
He ran around the parking lot, found a pickup truck with the keys in it.
Yeah.
And drove it and started taking people
to
the
hospital.
Injured people
to hospitals and stuff, right.
I don't think it was too hard to find a pickup truck at a country music rally.
No.
With the keys in it.
Trucks and cowboy boots.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so sad. And and it's Las Vegas. So a lot of the people who were injured and killed
right.
were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were locals that had gone to that. But do you guys remember when we went to Vegas and
mm-hmm.
it was they had the rodeo was in town?
Yeah.
And, you know, there were people from all over the country
right.
there for a special weekend or mm-hmm. just a getaway. And then this happens.
Right. Yeah. Very sad. And unfortunately, that's the way of our world right now is that people are doing stuff like that.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. According to Psychology Today, only about 1% of people are psychopaths.
I think that estimate's a little low.
Most psychopaths aren't violent mass murderers, but they do lack empathy and exhibit certain antisocial behaviors. So anyway, I was reading, and I think I got this out of the Week magazine. So this is a riddle.
Okay. Right? Oh, great. This is where I'm going to get diagnosed.
I'm
going
to read it to you, and then I want each one of you to give me what your answer to the riddle would be.
Oh, boy. Pay attention, Hannah.
This ought to be good.
All right, it is. All right, ready?
This is the psychopath scale.
All right. While at her mother's funeral, a woman meets a guy she doesn't know. She thinks the guy is amazing, her dream man, and is pretty sure he could be the love of her life.
She's a dumbass.
However, she never asked for his name or number, and afterwards could not find anyone who knows who he was. Okay?
Dumbass.
A few days later, the girl kills her own sister. Why did she do it?
Because the sister knew who he was.
Nope.
Oh, because the dude was her sister.
Nope. Hannah, you have any guesses? Come on, break out that psychopath.
Because she assumed the sister knew who it was and wouldn't tell her?
No. We're all pretty safe so far, but I haven't asked Ty yet. Ty?
Ty, why did she kill her sister?
Just because.
Because nobody thought he was real.
No, I know why.
Why? Why, psychopath?
I know why.
Why?
Because that way she got all the inheritance.
Nope. I'm going to give you the answer.
Okay.
All right, so this
is the psychopath answer?
This is the psychopath answer.
Okay, and this was the one you came up with yourself, right?
No.
Just checking.
The girl kills her sister in hopes that the guy will come to the funeral and she can see him again.
Oh.
That's,
huh.
That's the way psychopaths think. So basically, none of you got it right, and I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
I feel pretty safe here.
But anyway, they're all just too
if you
dumb.
Did get right, if you're listening at home and you answered it correctly,
go get yourself
you're
checked.
You're part of that 1%.
Call the show. Yeah. Not.
Yeah. Please call the show. We want to give you a little analysis.
Yeah.
You're on the show. Yeah. That number is 727-498-0502. Let's take a break.
Okay.
All right. Now, listen, one of the things that we're doing on the show, you may have noticed that I started off the show with a song, a little ditty called I Need to Know, and that was by Tom Petty.
Yes.
All of the songs this evening are going to be by
Tom Petty.
Yep. Unfortunately, Tom Petty lost his life earlier this week at the age of 66.
Unbelievable.
A great loss.
Great loss.
In my mind, a great loss. What a musician. And what a humanitarian, actually. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play another
Tom Petty
song. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what we had for pre-show dinner. We'll be right back.
Say
Okay, everybody, we are back. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, coming to you live from RadioSaintPete.com, as we do every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Now, something very interesting happened during the break. We were having
breaking news.
Breaking news, everybody. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that we had a person in the studio that was observing. This is our 18-year-old niece, Nicole. Okay. She let us know that the question I asked, or the riddle that I gave about being a psychopath, she got the answer right.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruh-roh.
I will be sleeping with one eye open tonight.
One in every family.
Yeah, apparently.
Two in mine.
Yeah. All right, so that song was Don't Do Me Like That, and again, that's by
Tom Petty.
Oh man, so sad about that.
It is.
Mm-hmm. This is probably the first celebrity death in a long time that's really actually touched me. You know, I've seen him in concert 5 times.
Yes.
And every time a great show.
Always.
I wish I had counted or gone to a site where I found out exactly how many hits he has. It's
a ton of them.
A little bit later in the show, I'm going to give you a little something about since his death, the downloads of his music, I mean, skyrocketed.
Skyrocketed.
I'll give you the top 10 of those songs. A little bit later in the show. But anyway, before the break, I said that we were going to talk about our pre-show dinner. Every Friday, we try to have a pre-show dinner, and we try to go to...
You usually pull it off.
And look, I don't know this week because I didn't have any, but from the conversations I heard coming from the kitchen, not so good. So, Stephanie, tell us about what happened.
Well, we went to Steak and Shake.
Which I've been to Steak and Shake.
I love Steak and Shake.
Yeah, never had a problem with Steak and Shake.
Their food, their fries, yeah. Their milkshakes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The problem mm-hmm. was ordering online
right.
and picking it up. Okay. Steak and Shake is a place, in my opinion, that you just need to go.
Yeah.
Sit down.
It's more of a sit-down place.
Yeah. Order and have it served and take care of it that way.
Yeah.
They do have a drive-through,
right?
But our order was so large, I didn't want to attempt that.
Sure.
So I did go online and order, then I was late because I was late getting out of work and traffic, and it was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The food was cold, and it's too far away from home
right.
to bring home milkshakes.
Yeah,
even with the air conditioner on full blast, making the food even colder.
Well,
the fries were cold as soon as I got in the car.
Well, you said that there was like some sort of fire situation with our food.
Well, they bagged our food and they put it under a heat lamp because, you know, to keep it warm.
Right.
Well, when they packed the bag, they put the honey mustard, the little plastic cups of honey mustard sauce on the top.
Right.
And the bag was too close to the
lamp.
Light.
Mm-hmm.
And the bag almost caught on fire. It melted all of the cups and the honey mustard was everywhere.
Yeah.
So they were unpacking and repacking the bags.
Very professional.
And, you know, it did not.
Did everything have honey mustard all over it?
No, I watched the girl throw away all the French fries that the honey mustard had dripped all over.
All right.
And which is why it surprised me.
So they made an attempt to fix it.
Yeah, when I got in the car with the bags, I reached in like I always do and mm-hmm. grabbed a handful of fries because right. I watched her throw them away and put new ones in.
Yeah.
And they were cold.
Mm.
So it was like, oh, well. Anyway, the
food.
And
those are the new ones.
Yeah. The food, cool. though.
My milkshake was good. I didn't get to keep it very long, but.
Yeah.
You rented it.
I enjoyed it.
They're real. And like I said, I love their food. They're open 24/7.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That surprises me.
That's the cool part.
Yeah, they're open 24/7. They have a full breakfast menu. I was watching as I was waiting for the food.
Yeah.
The guy was making eggs and burgers all at the same time. It's just, I wouldn't recommend it for takeout.
Especially a big order.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not.
But that doesn't mean we're not going back.
Right. I'm not going to diss Steak and Shake.
No, I love their food.
Yeah.
And,
good stuff.
You know, like I said, if you go sit.
We just had a bad experience.
Yeah. And, you know, if you sit down and you take your time mm-hmm. and the food is hot and delicious and wonderful.
Right.
Just mm-hmm. not a takeout kind of thing.
All right. Ty, do you think you could kick field goals?
I think he could.
Maybe, yeah. I'm about that tall.
I was going to mention that. Let's talk about sports, man.
Are the Bucks having tryouts? Maybe you should go.
I'll try out. I mean, I'd love to get paid that much.
My Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in desperate need of a field goal kicker, and Ty, you are about the right size to be a kicker.
I'll give it a shot.
That's funny that you mentioned that because I wrote that down. Buccaneer kicker Nick Folk missed 3 field goals last night in the Bucs' 19-14 loss to the New England Patriots.
Do the math. That's 9 points.
That's nine points left on the field. Come on, man. The last game.
The last game,
he redeemed himself by getting the winning field goal.
Yeah.
But before that, missed 3 kicks.
Right.
You know.
And he's the new kicker.
Right.
Because the new kicker in week 4.
Yeah, we sent Roberto Aguayo packing because he couldn't make any kicks. Now it looks like Nick Folk might do some packing too.
When's the tryout?
I'd like to think if you called Dirk Cutter and said, "Hey man, let me show you what I got.
Let me kick some balls for you."
I think he's just about ready to take anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody thinks they can put it through the uprights. Hannah Claire, you think you can?
I think I could.
Mm-hmm. You got those long legs.
Yeah.
Big feet. You might be able to get enough on that ball to.
Might snap my ankle, but I'll give it a shot.
Right.
Well, if the ball doesn't snap your ankle, mm-hmm. the defense may just like break you into 1,000 pieces if they got a hold of you.
Last night's game, a Thursday night game. I like a Thursday night game.
It's too late.
Well, for us it is. I mean,
we're old.
We're like old folks, you know, 8:30 game time. That's usually time we start to, you know,
nodding off.
What I did like, we watched the first half.
Yeah. Well, and, I caught you a couple of times.
Well, I nod off. But what I did like, what I was very impressed with, we're playing the Super Bowl champs. Okay. Who have lost 2 games already this season. We could have given them their 3rd loss, which is unheard of in New England. That just doesn't happen to them. We could have given them their 3rd loss, and we were doing our damnedest to do that. Our defense were like killer bees. I've not ever seen a team give Tom Brady such a fit.
Yeah.
Every play, he was on the ground. They were in his face. He threw an interception. They made it so he was not on his game. They only scored 14 points.
Right.
You know, that's not a lot for them.
No.
So I'm impressed with the defense. Our offense is still a little bit shaky. Doug Martin came back after a 4-game suspension. I thought he ran very well.
Yes.
For his first game back.
But there were dropped passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible uniforms.
Oh, the uniforms,
right. I don't like the all red unis. I do not like that.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's gross.
They look
out there in their long johns.
They look like ketchup bottles.
They look like they're all in their long johns. They're playing football in an old Western.
Right.
You know, out there. Hey, let's have a pickup game in our.
You know what those, underwear is called? The red underwear? A union suit. It's called a union suit.
I used to have one.
Had one too.
I used to wear that when I would go skiing.
And
it had the butt flap?
Yeah, it had the butt flap.
Yeah.
Right. A union suit.
Yeah.
So last night, the Bucks wore their union suits.
Yes.
Butt flap included.
And their 19-14 loss to the New England Patriots.
Oh, I thought you said
that. Damn it.
In their 19-14 yeah. game of yeah. pickup football
yeah.
in the old Western.
Mm-hmm. Hey, one of the cool things that happened last night, you know, when you go to stadiums, you'll see different names around the ring.
Right, the Ring of
that's
Honor.
That's the Ring of Honor. Well, I guess long time Buccaneers owner Malcolm Glazer, who has since passed away, was honored.
Oh, nice.
So his name was put up there. Well, just Glazer was put up there. There at the ceremony that happened at halftime, there were his sons were there. I'm assuming the rest of his family. And then several former Bucks players were
right.
there, so that's kind of cool.
I saw an interview with Mike Alstott,
mm-hmm.
and I was surprised how thin...
In good shape he looked.
Well, how thin he is. And I mean, he's not, like, stick thin.
No, he's still a moose.
He's still a big guy, I'm
His
sure.
face looked a little thinner, but I guarantee you he's still just massive.
Yes, yeah. And beautiful.
Oh, stop it. Make me sick.
Well, he doesn't look like Warren Sapp, let's put it that way.
No. Mm-mm. He's not as handsome as Warren.
I've always loved Mike Alstott.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
From afar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, all right. So one of the biggest sports stories of the week is the I guess it was a post-game interview with North Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. Apparently, a female reporter was asking him questions after the game, and in particular asking him about his receiver. I guess it's a rookie receiver. His last name was Funches, and saying that aren't you pleased
you want
to see?
Yes, please.
Funches, a bag of Funches.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, aren't you glad to see
420 Funches.
How he's running his routes? And Cam Newton responded with a laugh, saying, "I think it's funny that a woman is asking me about routes."
Right.
Which
and,
I don't
oh
find.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
the backlash.
You would have thought that he had said, you know, I find it funny that you're not wearing underwear.
Right.
You know, I mean, just unbelievable.
Or I am offended that a woman would ask me about the technical side of my profession.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just went viral.
Oh, terrible.
And I mean, did you see it?
I did see it.
He's kind of a dick about it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I talked to Mom about it. I said, okay, look. If you and I are sitting on the couch alone watching a football game, and all of a sudden you start talking about football strategy and stuff like that, I'm going to look at you and go, look how cute you are with all your football knowledge. I don't think Mom's going to be offended by that.
No,
she's just going to whip around and smack you in the face.
I don't think she would
well,
do that.
Real cute, aren't I?
What? Yeah, right. Yeah, just because I'm dumb. Short.
I think what the problem is these days, with all the political correctness, everybody's so easily offended.
Well, he
political
lost...
correctness has given everybody a license
to be
offended.
Yeah.
And I'm, quite frankly, I'm over it.
I'm
sick of
offended.
It. Yeah, I'm offended by you being offended.
Well,
man up.
Cam Newton is a young man.
Sure.
My thought is, I think it was almost more of a pickup line
mm-hmm.
than trying to be.
Yeah, but he's married.
Negative.
He's married with kids, and
oh yeah, you're married with kids, and if some attractive
how do you know
person,
she's attractive? I didn't see her.
She's on TV. She's not on the radio.
That's true.
So we'll yeah. assume she has a face for television.
Mm.
And a brain, it'd be like, hey, baby.
Well, because
I like this.
Because
being
of his
able
comments.
To talk about work.
Because of his comments that he made to, what's her name? The reporter is Jordan Rodriguez. And yeah.
Rodriguez and Funches.
Rodriguez and Funches. Funches of Bunches. So anyway, because of his comments to her, he's lost at least one.
Endorsement,
Dan and Yogurt. And to listen to the guy from Dan and Yogurt.
Isn't it funny? A man talking about yogurt.
Yeah, right. And probiotics. Mm-hmm.
What about that, biatch?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it was blown so far out of proportion.
Oh, yeah. This guy, Michael J. Newworth, he's the senior director of external communication at Danon.
Okay.
He said, we are shocked and disheartened
yes.
at the behavior and comments of Cam Newton toward Jordan Rodriguez, which we perceive as sexist and disparaging to all women.
Oh, please.
Really?
Jesus.
Well, don't speak
Get
for me.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to just kick his ass out of the league.
Yeah, right. Well, that'll be next.
He'll never throw another ball in his life.
Right.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
You know? I'm thinking I won't be buying any more Danon yogurt because they have spoken for me they have given an opinion that I do not agree with.
Mm-hmm. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said Wednesday night in a statement that Newton's comments are just plain wrong and disrespectful to the exceptional female reporters and all journalists who cover our league. They do not reflect the thinking of the league, the
NFL.
Oh,
for Pete's sake.
Wah, wah, wah. It's like, God damn.
I mean, okay.
Get a grip.
What if he had been interviewed by a sportscaster who was a famous ice hockey player?
Right.
I'm trying to think of a sport that's totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And he started talking... Would he have had the same comment? Hey man, I can't believe I'm talking routes with Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
You know, who knew that you would have I think he meant it as a compliment.
Now this is something that I heard that in this Jordan Rodriguez past, she has had some tweets that has used the N-word.
Oh. Hmm. Well, see, to me, that's way worse.
With an A or with an R? There's a difference. There's a difference.
That's way worse. Way worse, if you ask me.
I don't know. It's just crap. Just absolute crap.
I think it's crap.
Mm-hmm. Hey, believe it or not,
what?
Hockey is back already.
Oh, look at me and my ice hockey reference. So timely.
It seems like last season just ended, right?
Yeah
didn't it?
Go Wolves.
They play hockey until what? August?
August, that seems like. It just ended 2 weeks ago. Our Tampa Bay Lightning
it's
play
already
their,
back on?
It starts tonight. Our Tampa Bay Lightning play their season opener tonight against the Panthers at Amalie Arena. The puck drops at 7:30. Go Bolts!
Where are the Panthers from?
Carolina.
One of the Carolinas.
Carolina.
Are they? Their hockey team and their football team are the same? The Panthers?
Yeah, that's how cool they are.
Oh.
How original thinking they are. I'm pretty sure they're from Carolina.
Okay.
Hey, if you know where the Carolina's from, the hockey team, give us a call at 727-498-0502.
The Panthers.
We'll also let you play for the Happy Hour 100.
Not the Carolina.
Oh, not the Carolina.
Yeah.
If you know where the Carolina is,
yeah.
Give us a call.
Again, which one?
Good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much time do we have?
Way to be Southern. The Carolina.
Right.
There are two.
Yeah.
South.
The
Which one?
One of the two.
Anyway, look, we never made it over to a Bolts game last year. I really want to make that sort of a priority to go to at least one.
Yes.
Everybody I've ever spoken to that's been over there to, I still want to call it the Ice Palace.
Amalie Arena.
Yeah, Amalie Arena. But supposedly they do a great job putting on a great show over there.
Oh, I'm
pre-game,
sure.
During the game, post-game. It's just fantastic.
I've always loved that.
One of the
venue.
Things I also like that they do is they will set up a huge screen outside for people that couldn't get tickets.
Do they still do that?
Well, it's only during playoffs.
I thought they had to stop.
But that's
doing
still
that.
A good idea. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, maybe they do the thing at the beach like they do for Rays baseball when they're out of town.
Yeah.
You know, they have the Rays watch parties where they blow up the big screen the beach.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Anyway, I'd like now I've got two jerseys. I'd like to wear one at the stadium watching a game.
Oh, that's right.
Right. I'd even let you wear one.
I have my own.
Oh, that thing.
I love mine. Mine's old school. It's cotton and soft and not all.
Old school would have been like wool. Well, scratchy.
Wool.
Made of wood.
Wool.
Wool. Right. So, anyway. All right, listen. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show, coming to you live, as we do every Friday evening, right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We need to take a break. This is our halfway break, everybody.
Yes.
Can you believe it's already been an hour?
No.
We got one more hour to go, and we have a lot of show to do. We've got all kinds of stories. We've got Stump the Chump.
Yes.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to get right back into it.
Yes.
See ya.
Some time. There's some